Welcome back to Dylan Friends. What a big week it's been. Dylan Friends is on X Games mode.
Oh my God, he's on X Games mode.
Thank you so much for your love and support. It's been huge. Been a big week chatting to a lot of the boys playing in the AFL Grand Final this week. Melbourne versus Doggies. And yeah, just cannot thank them enough for having us on in such an important week. We started off with Cody Waitman. If you haven't heard that episode, young man, he was just blew me away how switched on this young kid is. And can't wait to see him have a crack on the weekend, which will be huge. But today, it's all about James Harms, who's a legend. Someone I've absolutely loved watching for a long time and actually played against this bloke a lot when I was at the Blues. And that wasn't in the AFL. That was definitely in the VFL at Preston City Oval. But he was just tearing it up. And it's so good to see him go from a rookie pick to being an absolute lock in the Melbourne Demons team, and it hasn't come easy, that's for sure, but he's put in the work and always had the belief in himself that he'll get it done. So yeah, just really rap for him, to be honest, to see him making the grand final, and I know he'll perform on the big stage, so it's going to be absolutely huge. And geez, it's exciting, you know, being in Melbourne at this stage, there's not much really going on. We're locked inside, but I just can't help but think how big this game would have been if it was at the G with all the Melbourne supporters. But I digress. It's going to be huge. Looking forward to this game. I still don't know who's going to win, but I do know that it's going to be a really, really good game. And whoever wins is going to be really deserving. But again, big, big shout out to James Harms for chatting to us in such an important week. I know if I was ever playing in a grand final, I'd be turning off my phone and not saying a word. So these guys are just so switched on. They're so ready to go. They're pumped. They're confident. And really, really pumped to see it go. But before we get into it, I do ask one thing. If you can, if you love the show and you've enjoyed some of the content, it'd be absolutely huge. A massive, massive help that whatever you're listening on, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Wooshka, YouTube, whatever you're listening on right now, if you could follow or subscribe the show, it just goes such a long way to helping grow the podcast. And yeah, it'd be an absolutely huge, huge support for the show. So I'd really, really appreciate it. Yeah, it'd be absolutely massive. So thank you so much. Hope you enjoy the show. Go James Harms. Go D's. Let's go.
My name is Deborah, Dylan's mum. Welcome to the Dylan Friends podcast.
Many ways I've been waiting my whole life for this moment.
Tears.
Strength.
I'm like, I run. She's like, everyone runs. I'm like, but does everyone go to the Olympics?
They're sitting there meditating, going, oh my God, I think I'm meditating. How good is this? I'm meditating. It's like,
we had a Wu-Tang call. I was like, yo, Dylan, thanks for getting us in.
Just love it.
It's knuckle puck time. Yeah.
It's like don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
James Harms, welcome to the Dylan Friends podcast, my friend. It's an honour, it's a pleasure, it's a real treat in such an important week for yourself. I can't thank you enough for jumping on.
Thanks for having me, mate. I've heard some great things about this and I'm excited to be on.
No, mate, I've been lining up. They've been lining up left, right and centre. You're the man of the people. And I'm in Melbourne at the moment. There is some serious James Harms love in the Melbourne people getting around in Victoria. So very exciting week for yourself. Firstly, how are you feeling? What's going on? Geez, it's like two, three games for days before the game kicks off.
Yeah, I'm pretty nervous, to be honest with you. It's just more the build up to the whole game. Like it's been a long time since we played, so yeah, the nerves are starting to kick in now, obviously. But I think once the game starts, it's just another game. So I'm just trying to keep it simple, and yeah, hopefully once it starts, I'm sure the nerves will disappear.
I always found that as well. It's like you get, I don't know about you, but I had serious like anxiety before games. I always get so nervous. And even at halftime, quarter time, I hated it. But when you're in the game, you literally do just forget what's happening.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, obviously this is a bit more of a build-up, the granny. I've never played in a senior grand final, obviously. Coming straight out of juniors, I played in a TAC Cup one, but we got pumped by Eastern Rangers, which was pretty shit. But yeah, I mean, once the siren goes for the first bounce, I think, you know, you go out and do what you naturally do, and that's play footy.
Do you have any routines or anything that you'll go through? Do you stick to something that sort of helps you bring back? Like last week, I suppose, I had a chat with Cody Waitman a couple of days ago, and I was just couldn't believe, like, for a young guy, how much he, like, had a routine. And I know some players like routines, some players, their routine is to not even have one. Do you have anything that you sort of go through to keep yourself leveled?
No, not really. I'm one of those players that just kind of goes with the flow, and I mean, I did listen to that. He has some reset tools or something he goes to. As I said, once I'm out there, like, it's just like, fuck, I'm ready to go. And I try not to think about it too much leading in, which is hard because it's obviously a granny and everyone's talking about it. But I just actually spoke to Jordan Lewis about how he was feeling before his grand finals, and he gave me a bit of advice about Just playing is another game, you know. It's you know, I've been playing footy for my whole life, so I'm obviously a little bit nervous. But yeah, once I'm out there, I'll be right.
What's been like the messaging, I suppose, internally as a group? It's, you know, publicly acknowledged that and build up that Melbourne, I think it's I can't remember, is it 56, 70, 64, whatever, how many years drought it is, it's a big one. Is that sort of infiltrated the group? Is it building up, or is it nice that you're sort of in Perth, you guys can just stay in your hub and just do your own thing?
Yeah, I think being in Perth's actually a blessing in disguise. I mean, I've seen some photos of Melbourne and it looks like it's just full of, the red and blue. So yeah, it has been good to be here. And I mean, everyone does know it's been a fair while since we played in a flag and won one. So we're obviously a little bit nervous, but I think this whole year, the team we have and the group we have, we've matured so much, and we're just so excited to see what we can do. And obviously we're playing a really good side in Bulldogs. So I think it'll be a close one, but as I said, we're just pumped, mate.
Mate, it is going to be a close game. I'm not just saying this, but I don't think I've ever been so excited to watch a game and have two teams that are so close, like playing against each other. So I think it's going to be seriously, seriously impressive. The heat is going to be on early, and I suppose, you know, yourself, you go through that midfield, that half-forward role, it's going to be so hot quickly. I love that first 10 minutes of a grand final, how hot it will be.
Yeah, it's actually, I was watching the Hawks and the Sydney, like the last 2 minutes. I don't know what round, I don't know what year it was, but when Malcheski kicked that goal to win it. And like, even just watching that, the last 2 minutes, like, everyone's still going that hard. And I feel like that's what the game's going to be like that on the weekend. I mean, two really good midfields going at it. And I think that's where the game will be either won or lost.
Couple more in the game in itself. Where's your role on the day? Have you sort of spoken about what you're going to be doing? I know we're not going to talk in specifics at all, but will it be similar to what you think? Like, what's your main role in the team?
Yeah, it'll be similar to the last few weeks. I'll start probably on the half forward line and go in the middle a little bit. My role's changed a little bit. Like, during the year, I was more playing a bit more mid, and I've gone to half forward, and yeah, really loving that role. It's something that I used to play a fair bit when I was younger. I actually played on you a couple of times back in the day. So yeah, I'm loving the role as a half forward, and you'll probably see me predominantly there on the weekend.
Let's go back then, I suppose, back to 2014, your draft. You just mentioned that then. It will definitely around the same time, and I remember playing you a lot. I used to love playing on you. You, this high energy, very chirpy on the field, used to get into my head a lot. And when I say in my head, you were playing AFL a lot of the time, and when occasionally you'd come back and play at Preston City Oval, maybe for Casey, you'd be really chirping me. And you used to rock the number 43 as well. You're a rookie, lots of respect. Then all of a sudden, you just had this incredible breakout year. You haven't looked back since. You ditched the high number. You're out of like West Footscray, and you've gone to Hollywood Boulevard. You've taken the number 4. What's the memories of your early career, I suppose, and starting out as that rookie?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, I started as a rookie, and I don't know, like, when you get drafted as a rookie, you got to earn your stripes a bit more than the first rounders do. So I was always pretty, like, energetic as a kid and as an 18-year-old, and I never wanted to lose that, playing. That's the way I play, with a lot of energy, and I kind of I feed off it a bit when someone gets into me. So I do remember that day at Preston City Oval when we were playing against each other, and there was a bit of banter there. But, it's been a crazy ride, to be honest with you, the ups and downs of AFL football. And I was lucky to, I think it was actually against Bulldogs in 2018 was when I got my first real crack at playing in the midfield, and I tagged Jackson McRae. And that's where my tagging kind of started, and I got a bit of confidence out of that. And then, yeah, I guess from there, I've always, played a more of a midfield role. And as you said, I had a couple of good years. And last year was probably a bit of a downer for me. I went to half back and struggled a little bit there. But yeah, this year I feel like I'm back to playing good football. And yeah, it's just great to be part of such a close group and a really, a good team.
What do you put that down to, though? Like, when you speak about being a rookie, and I don't know if you've reflected on it a lot throughout your career, because I suppose you're always in the game and you don't want to look back on things too much. But what got you to the stage to be able to go, like, from a rookie pick, where, like, we're not being disrespectful here to rookies, but you're never really the first picked in teams. You never, sometimes guys, they don't really feel like they can go and command a spot in the midfield because you're, one of the later picks in the draft. But you did that. You made that transition. Now you've been selected in the team a lot. How did you get that confidence? Was it just from doing work? Was it, what was it?
Yeah, I always believed in myself. I was actually like, during my draft year, like I spoke to like every club. So I thought I was going to go national. And when I didn't go, I was so shattered. I was like, nah, I'm not getting drafted anymore. Like, that's it. Like, I've missed out there. I'm not going to get rookied. And it killed my confidence a lot. But then I think it's just always had a mentality of working hard. And yeah, when I got to the AFL, like, it took me ages. Like, I remember I was like, oh, I don't want to be that player that never plays a game. I was just really determined to crack into the side first. And then, yeah, once I did crack in, I mean, probably similar to you, you just want to earn respect of your teammates. And I remember Bernie Vince, he was a great mentor towards me, Big Bernard. And he just always used to tell me, like, the harder you work, the more luck you'll have. And he used to beat me at every 3K, like I could never beat him. And that really stuck with me early on. Like, the harder you work, the more luck you'll have. So I guess you've got to have a bit of luck as well. I got lucky to play that midfield role and then took with both hands.
Yeah, you definitely did, man. What about the start of this year? Now, you missed 6 weeks. Was that due to selection or was that injury? What was that 6 weeks? Because since coming back in the side, you really haven't missed a beat.
Yeah, round one, I broke my scaphoid. So against Freo, I broke my wrist in the third quarter or something. But I was actually lucky that I got it x-rayed because it's an injury where you can just play with it for weeks and weeks and then it ends up ruining your season. So, broke my wrist and I was out for 6 weeks. I was actually a little bit of a blessing in disguise because I was actually able to run the whole time. So I was just running flat out with the fitness staff, Big Saul. And as I said, it was like a blessing because I was really fit when I came back. So I felt like I didn't miss too much of the physical side. It was obviously a bit draining mentally just running every session and not touching the footy. But, I think it's helped me in good stead.
It's funny, like I look back now and look at my career and guys around me, and I think I like put way too much emphasis on like being fit. Like this time of the year when I was like wasn't even playing, I'd come back, complete like the biggest preseason ever, have a good first 5 rounds, and then just absolutely break down. Well, you look at older heads that are so much smarter. Yes, you got to get the work into your body, but realistically, you want to be playing the last 10 games of the year, not the first 10 games of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there's always a few preseason heroes at every club. But in saying that, I did have a pretty big off-season as well. I mean, I wasn't able to travel, so I got into Hurt Locker, a little gym in Richmond, and I worked really hard over the off-season because last year was really disappointing for me. I got dropped for the first time in, like, I think it was nearly 100 games, so that really hurt, and I didn't want to be playing twos, like, there's nothing against playing twos, but it hurt me a lot when I was down there and I wasn't playing seniors.
How'd that conversation go? What did you have to do to get back in the team? What was around the dropping?
As I mentioned before, I was playing half back last year and I was struggling a little bit to find the footy, and we weren't going great as a team. So I probably had my fair set of chances to prove myself, but I was hardly getting a touch, so it was valid. Like, I needed to get dropped to get my spot back in the team, and I actually ended up doing my hammy like when I got back into the team. So the end of last year was pretty disappointing for me. And I remember Goody actually rang me in the off season. We caught up for a coffee, and he just said like, for Melbourne to be good, that we need James Harms playing in the team. So he told me I'll be back in the midfield, which I loved, and from there, I just had to work hard. And I think I lost a little bit of trust within the team last year, and I feel like I've gained that back.
That's elite, like having conversations with coaches like that, that, you know, he can put the faith in you. I feel like for some reason, Goody just doesn't get the respect he deserves externally. Like, we saw on the weekend, obviously he got voted the Coaches Association Award, but just no one talks about him. Like, he just doesn't really get spoken about in the media. How big has he been in the last, year and a half? Because I remember hearing a lot about when he first came to the club, it's absolutely different to what he is now.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, he flies under the radar a fair bit. You don't really hear much of him. End of last year, like, there was people calling for his head. And it's like, I mean, we didn't have the greatest of years, but we just missed out on finals. He's been great, not only for me, but for everyone. I mean, last year is kind of a weird year to talk about because it was such a high-pressure environment when we were in the hub for however long it was. Yeah, but this year, like, like he's so easy to talk to. You can talk to him about anything. He's been like a bit of like a father figure to all of us, I think, especially being in a hub last year where we were away from family. And yeah, this year it's just been, he's been awesome.
Maxi Gorn, we were lucky enough to speak to him early in the year, and he said the same thing. He was just so impressed with how he is, and he's just an incredible sort of resource for all the guys, not just in footy but in life as well. So it's a credit to himself what he's been able to do.
Yeah, I think because he's been through a lot of the stuff that most players have been through, so I think that's one thing. He never forgets where he came from as well. So yeah, it's really easy to relate to him.
I always found that now that I've left the game and I just like, you know, thinking about things, I always felt that necessarily like the best players in the AFL that have been picked every week, they captain their club for 20 years and they win Brownlows and like, yes, they've got an incredible knowledge of the game, but they don't have the most relatable sense of what everyone's been through. And I suppose someone like Goodwin, like there's been stories come out this week, like, yes, he was a club captain and played some incredible football, but he also had a lot of downtime as well and had been knocked out of the team, took him a while to come in. He had shit going on off field and all these types of things in his life. So I suppose exactly what you're saying, it makes him more relatable to everyone else in the team.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what's so easy. You can go talk to him about anything, really. Like, it doesn't have to be about footy. It can be about just life in general. So, yeah, as I said, he's been awesome. And we've got big Adam Uze in as well, and he's really been good for us. He's a midfield coach, and I love Uze. Melbourne supporter as well. Like, growing up, I remember watching Uze, and apparently, like, I remember going to, like, a past players thing, and everyone was like, nah, Uze, like, when he was playing, no one thought he'd be a good coach. But, yeah, he's been unreal as well. Probably for not only me, but like all the midfield, like you see Track and Clary, their games have gone to another level. And I think Uze has, probably had a big role in that.
That's huge. Yeah, we haven't really, like externally as well, like heard a lot about him. There's been a lot of, you know, noise about Choco and all the incredible things that he's done at the club. But I'm sure to get to where you guys have and the performance you've been put in, there's a lot of people that are putting in the hard work. What about like with the D's this year? Obviously, you finished on top of the ladder. It was, you know, an incredible year, but there was periods in that year where it was pretty challenging too. Was there a pivotal moment in the year, like a win, that made you just go, like, fuck, we're on here, like, we're definitely a chance for this?
Yeah, like the one that sticks out to me was the Geelong game down there when we won that to finish on top. Like, I remember after the game, I rang my mum and I was like, fuck, mum, I think we can actually win this. Like, that was, like, the moment for me. I'm sure everyone has different moments throughout the year. And obviously winning the prelim last week was pretty special 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, I just remember, like, the feeling kind of changed when we won that game. I think everyone started to believe. And, yeah, there's one more to go. So we're pretty excited.
That's exciting, man. Maxi, again, he spoke to us early in the year. And I suppose you've been at the club now for long enough to comment on this too. But he spoke about the culture shift at the D's and probably where it was from when you first started to what it is now. What is the main thing that stands out to you that's different?
That's a great question. I think, yeah, I remember when I first got to Melbourne, we were pretty shit, like, to be honest. Like, we weren't winning many games. And it was a bit of a rabble to be completely honest. Like, I just remember, like, as a young player, like, I didn't even know how to get a game. Like, there was no clear path for me. Like, this is what you have to do. And I think that's what's changed. Obviously, we've changed our way of playing. Like, you'd see a selfless brand now. I think back then it was pretty selfish. And like now, as a young player coming into Melbourne, you know, they know what they have to do if they want to play. And, yeah, I think it's been a big shift in mindset with the players and the coaching staff. You know, Maxi would have touched on, yeah, on the selflessness of the group. And I think that's what's driven our game this year.
It's crazy, isn't it? And it's funny, you've got like perceptions in football of clubs and what they stand for. And I suppose you look back, you know, and I hope I'm not speaking out of tongue here of Melbourne, but you do look back to, you know, 5-10 years ago and you don't align that with a strong team of football, and fast forward now and everyone goes, fuck me, that's one of the strongest jumpers you can look at. And I think Petrarca touched on that against in his post-game interview with Geelong. Like, I don't support Melbourne. Like, I love the boys and love it, like what you guys are doing. But even as me, like, I was, like, nearly crying. I was like, that's unbelievable. Like, he's acknowledged that, yes, it's shit. Demon supporters have been embarrassed to be supporters, but now we want to change that. And I thought that was, like, that vulnerability of just, like, admitting it. And now you're like, yeah, but we want to be proud again. I was like, fuck, that was huge.
Yeah, that was massive. And Like, I remember thinking after that, like, I was a Melbourne supporter when I was growing up. So, like, I remember watching us and we were shit. Like, I didn't even want to say who I went for when I was younger, because, like, my older brother and my older sister went for Brisbane, and Brisbane were winning, like, all the flags. Yeah, like, I had to stick by them because my old man wouldn't let me change. So, yeah, I mean, the D supporters have been through heaps, and to finally be out there playing, you know, a really good brand of footy, and I think the supporters should be really proud of the way we play, and we're all really proud to be Melbourne footballers, and we're just, I know I keep saying it, but we're just so pumped. Like, we've got a chance to, you know, make history at this club and win the flag, and that's what you play footy for.
Just on being a young fella supporting the D's, how many DMs do you reckon you would have slipped into and just abused the players when you were back in the day? If Instagram was a thing, do you reckon you would have been sliding in there just absolutely pummeling the boys?
Nah, I wouldn't. I used to actually feel sorry for the boys, like, honestly. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's some dark days there, that's for sure. But
hey, you don't have to tell me about it, mate. I've supported Carlton whole life, so I've definitely had those feelings as well. That's totally fine. Off field, I love a lot of your work, not just as a footballer, mate, but you're an absolute star off the field. You've got an incredible relationship with a real big Melbourne fan, John Amos. Is that correct in the how to Johnny? So Johnny is a Demon supporter. I've, like, you know, obviously seen you on Instagram and followed you on Instagram for a long time, and you've had a really good relationship with this young man. What's behind this? Can you talk a little bit about this? Because I saw there was something on your Instagram just today that you'd sort of sent him from Dan, which is your business actually, Fat Nut Customs.
Yeah, I'll touch on Fat Nut in a minute. It's a bit of a silly name there, but yeah, I met John. Would have been after, I think it was in my first year. After my first win, I gave him a football on the boundary. And for people that don't know who John is, John has Down syndrome, and he's a great man. The moment I met him, I got a photo with him. And then, like, 3 years later, or 4 years later, after a Hawthorn game, I found him again in the crowd and I gave him a ball again. And that blew up, like, when it was all over the news and stuff. And ever since then, I've got him into the club and he's been around the club. And he just, I don't know what it is, he's always smiling, he's always happy. And his sister Dee, she's always sending me videos of him. And, you know, last year during COVID, it was pretty tough for him. And I sent him a few jumpers and stuff. And every time I see his videos, like, it just makes me happy to see someone else happy. And if you get the chance, just maybe jump on. I'll try share something on my story again.
Yeah, we'll definitely put his link up as well, for sure.
Yeah, and he was out interviewing people last week for the grand final. And yeah, when I see him smile, it makes me smile.
That's awesome, mate. And it must be, you're definitely setting the tone there with the boys, with everything you're doing off field, with the selflessness. We, you know, touched us here at Dylan Friends as well. Sammy Dalton, who you just met before on the link, his cousin Cara is going through a bit at the moment. And Petrarca, May and Gorney all sent videos to her, like, this week in you know, the biggest week of their lives, but still are doing things like that. So the selflessness of the culture is pretty strong down at Demons at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that comes from the top. Like, Goody, he always says the higher purpose of football, and that's giving back to our fans. And, yeah, as you said, I mean, Gorney and Maisie and Track have all sent messages to Sam's cousin, but I think most of the boys will be doing similar stuff, and it's giving back to the people that obviously are struggling a bit more than us, you know, could be in Melbourne or New South Wales, in where COVID's hit them pretty hard, and it's just good to bring some joy to people's lives.
Yeah, definitely, mate. You're in such a high power there to be able to impact people. You probably don't understand the impact you're having, but just know it is there. Let's speak about you off field. You're a very busy man. You've got your business going as well. It's humming. Got to get some Fat Nut Customs in the studio. I'll jump online and put some orders through. How did this start? How did it all come about?
My mate Luke, he's actually a fair bit older than me. He's one of my good mate's stepdads, and he was trying to get his business off the ground, and it's so stupid how he came with the name. And we just wanted something that people would remember, and we were like, no one will ever fucking forget this. My nickname's The Nut. I don't know how I got it, like, in my first year. Jeremy Howe just started calling me Harms Nut one day. And, like, I knew it was stuck when Roosie started calling me The Nut. I'm like, fuck, this is my nickname now. So that's how I got The Nut. And Luke's, he was a little bit overweight. He's lost heaps of weight now. But so we came up with the name Fat Nut. and we just, like, at the start, it was just like, oh, we'll just do it for a bit of fun and see how it goes. And, yeah, as you said, it's taken off, and It's going pretty well. We're just about to actually sign with a new media team to run it all. So, we're pretty excited. Things are looking up for us. So it's been good.
And just to give context in what the business is, it's basically print-like artwork.
So Luke, he's pretty artistic. I don't have an artistic bone in my body. And he was taking photos of Melbourne and the city and different spots around, Victoria. And he was selling them on glass prints and they were going pretty well. And he wanted me to come get involved and try and help, grow the brand. And he does all the art and he does some really cool stuff. If you want to check it out, I think the music industry, like the music artists, music stars are selling at the moment. Lots of Drake and Travis Scott prints and the younger people love it and it's good.
That's fatnut with 2ts.com on the interweb if anyone's on the internet these days. All the kids love the internet. So definitely check that out, mate. You're doing incredible things and I definitely need to get a piece myself in the studio. So we'll sort that out.
For the wall behind you.
Maybe a big Demons Premiership post would be nice. Just somewhere in the studio. I'll get the boys in. We'll have a few beers. It'll be very, very good. Talk us through your goals, mate, I suppose. What's next, okay? Best case scenario, you're standing up there with a Premiership Cup, with a medal as well. Maybe two. I'm hoping two. What's the next few weeks going to look like for you? Do you think you'll stay over in Perth and stay over there and live your life? Because you can't really do much here at the moment.
I'll start. Obviously, would love to win it. That's the main goal at the moment. But yeah, I'll stay here for a week or so and head back after that. I've got my beautiful girlfriend, Corey, at home at the moment. And she's actually from San Diego over in California. So she's been by herself for about 5 weeks now and visiting home a bit. So I'll definitely get back there as soon as I can after hopefully win and have a bit of celebration, a few frothies and a bit of partying. But she's been back home, so I'll definitely be getting back home. And if we do win, I'm sure we'll want to try and go around again.
I think you will. It's going to be very exciting, mate. Honestly, cannot thank you enough for coming on the show, having a chat. And, mate, we'll do it all again as soon as we can. Get in the studio, have a few beers, and Bob's your uncle. Thanks so much for your time, bro.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for having me.
If that wasn't enough for you and you want even more, you're in luck. Dylan Friends is now on Patreon. Dylan Best Friends. An exclusive loyalty subscription featuring the debrief podcast of each episode and bonus Q&As from Patreon members like this. Favourite TV or film?
Favourite TV series? The old Simpsons. Seasons 1 to 12. Can't go past Breaking Bad either. And film, big Star Wars fan, massive Star
Lovely.
Wars fan.
Okay, wow. And there's plenty more where that came from. If you'd like to learn more, you can head to patreon.com/Dylan Friends or you can head to the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening to the Dylan Friends podcast. If you like the show, it'd be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, leave a review, or even share with your friends. The show is produced by myself and Sam Bonza. Damon Jackman from Creative Edge Films is responsible for audio and visual production. The show is recorded at the Dylan Friends Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you'd like to get in touch or suggest a guest or advertise with the Dylan Friends podcast, please email us at inquiries@dylanfriends.com. Thanks so much for tuning in.